This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. It is 7:05 in the morning and welcome to the business end of the show. Now, US stocks climbed after a report that the US is considering delaying President Donald Trump's plan to impose tariffs on Mexico. The Dow Jones gained 0.7%, the S&P 500 was up 0.6%, and the NASDAQ edged up 0.5%. Asian markets were pretty mixed as well, I understand.
Yes, that's right. I think the most notable market to mention is the Shanghai Composite, which fell more than 1%. And that's because Trump has said that he'll decide whether to enact tariffs on another $325 billion of Chinese imports after the G20 summit at the end of the month in Japan, where he's expected to meet China's President Xi Jinping, whom he says loves him and is his best friend.
Meanwhile, Australia cuts its rates for the first time in nearly 3 years as the Reserve Bank of Australia seeks to offset the effects of global trade tensions and a slowdown in China. India's central bank also cut its benchmark interest rates for the third time this year and paved the way for more policy easing to support an economy growing at its slowest pace in 2014.
Yeah, we actually spoke about these rate cuts earlier this week with Carlos Casanova, who's a chief Asia economist at COFAS. So be sure to download the podcast on the BFM app.
And in fact, a lot of controversy in Australia as a result of this rate cut because the banks are being accused of pocketing that full 0.25% cut. They're lowering deposit rates by the full amount, but not the loans. They're reducing the loans by less.
Well, a lot of banks are guilty of that. I mean, even here in Malaysia. So let's say there's a rate cut. So yes, your deposit rates go down immediately, but your loan rates don't adjust as quickly. So there is some lag time where they benefit.
It's an arbitrage there, if you ask me.
Yes.
Now, Fiat Chrysler has also stunned industry watchers as it withdrew its merger proposal with French carmaker Renault. And this announcement followed a failed attempt by Renault board members to reach a decision on the offer. Renault has said that it had been unable to reach agreement because the French government's representatives had requested a postponement. And up closer to home, Thailand has confirmed its prime minister following a tumultuous general election. So retired general Prayuth Chan-o-cha, the man who led a military coup in Thailand 5 years ago, has been elected as the country's civilian prime minister. So to tell us a little bit more about global markets today, we have on the line Tim Mulholland, president of PJM Limited out of Chicago. Thank you for joining us, Tim. So the US Federal Reserve Chair Powell signals that the Fed could lower rates if the US economy deteriorated on the back of increased trade tensions. However, would a cut be sufficient to ward off what looks like an impending global slowdown or even recession? And are the Feds reacting too slowly?
Well, you know, I take a look at what's going on around the rest of the world, in particular in the Eurozone, where they've got, you know, negative rates in Germany now after 10 years. So I'm not so sure that's the case. But what I would say is I think the Fed's rate cut isn't so much caused by the economy, which is still strong here. But when you look at the two-year with a 1.2% and a 10-year note at 2.1% and the Fed funds where they are, I think the Fed would follow the market. They're probably, given the negative interest rate backdrop, the low interest rate backdrop, it gives them room, and they want to twist the yield curve a little more. So I think it's technical, but as well as heading off anything. And they have room to do it, and the market's telling them to. And by the way, the Fed funds futures market has a 70% chance that they're going to cut by July. So I think that that's baked in the cake right now. So I would probably say 2% funds is not out of the question. And the economy's strong enough, so I think it'll keep going. But that doesn't, what concerns me is the rest of the world, ROW.
Yeah, Tim, the rest of the world is indeed quite worrying, especially when people are talking about a trade cold war right now. And Donald Trump has promised to slap another over $300 billion of tariffs on China. Do you think that this will play into the interest rates as well?
Yeah, I think it's definitely the driving force there. And if he is serious, I mean, I agree with the policy because I think that China's being underestimated here. And not only in the impact that it's having, but their resolve as well. So I just can't believe that he will pursue that. I think it's still a negotiating, but it's a dangerous tool. But nonetheless, the Fed is definitely, as Powell noted, that's is certainly factoring into their decision-making.
And the decline in U.S. equity markets and the sharp rally in bonds suggest that investors are turning increasingly bearish and taking a risk-off strategy. So do you share the same view? And if so, which asset classes or types of stocks would you consider safe havens?
You know, I tell you, this 10% pullback in the NASDAQ was from the all-time high to the recent low on Tuesday, I believe. I thought it was viewed as a buying opportunity, obviously. The risk-off, I'm not so sure, because bonds were leading this market down all the way. So it wasn't like stocks broke and bonds got, you know, took the reaction to lower yields. It was quite the other way. So I think that, I think it's still the same here. I think you're going to see more of the passive investing going on, unless we're going to get a recession. Now, tomorrow's employment report's key, and so is how we close this week. But I think the market's got the animal spirits back out here. They think we saw a low, which we might have, and trade's priced in right now. So if you get any positive developments on trade going forward, I think we're probably looking at new highs in this market.
Tim, are you concerned over investigations by the U.S. government on the big four tech giants, so Apple, Alphabet, Google, Amazon, and Facebook, as to whether they compete fairly or breach any antitrust laws? Do you think these investigations will distract investors or add volatility to their respective share prices?
If they were Chinese companies, would be in big trouble. But that said, I think it's going to cause some volatility because, you know, there's a lot. And they do have quite a bit of, in my view, monopoly on data. So I think there's going to be some restrictions there. But, you know, I think the business models, I think at the end of the day, it'll add some volatility. But these are really companies, I think, that are going to be bought and going to be owned for a long time. So I don't think they're going to be broken up. At least that's my view at this point.
And oil also has fallen off a cliff from over $70 per barrel to now just slightly above $60. Are you worried about this, Tim?
You know, it was what a shock. And I think that the also contributing here in the U.S. is the weather we've been having and the Mississippi River flooding and I think stalling some traffic and so forth. But when I look at the spreads and the backwardation in both Brent and WTI future spreads, you know, it tells me that I think you might have hit a bottom also in crude prices. So I would look for crude prices to rally. And I didn't see a deterioration in crack spreads either. So I think I'd be taking a bullish stance on energy here.
So, Tim, what's keeping you up at night with regards to markets? So is there anything that we should be worried about going forward?
You know, the only thing that makes me worried is really, in particular, what's going on in Europe. Because I think it's a lot more serious there. And the longer this trade war goes with China, I think it hurts Europe. Actually, I think Europe's being hurt the worst, in particular Germany. So that's probably what worries me more, you know, than anything. But other than that, and all-out trade war that continues, if this, you know, Trump wants them to see crazy, then we got trouble here. But, I'm looking more that there's going to be some sort of resolution. But, boy, they better give China some face-saving exit here because I don't think China's just going to cave in.
Thank you so much. And that was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago. And what's keeping him awake at night is the European region, I suppose, because geopolitical risk, I think, as a result of the Trump administration are something that is going to be weighing very heavily on everyone's minds right now.
Yeah, that's right. I think that it's Tim is offering a kind of different view from the other commentators who are more gloomy, and Tim is more positive given the rises of the last few days. He also talked about backwardation in the oil market, which is the phenomenon of the spot prices being higher than the futures prices. This is kind of like the yield curve inversion, where the short-term rates are also higher than the long-term rates, and it's sort of an indication of an impending recession.
Yeah, it does mean that markets are very nervous about what's happening in the future, and they expect global oil demand to come under pressure. But Tim's comments on euro are, I think, if anything, he's kind of right, because the European rates are at all-time low. And I don't know how they can cut rates anymore to boost the economy.
Yeah, they're really running out of ammo. I think at least in the U.S., people can still talk about another round of quantitative easing or even some degree of dovishness from the Fed.
But we may also be seeing some volatility in the Apple, Alphabet, Amazon and Facebook stocks, or at least that's what Tim's expecting as a result of the investigations by the US government. Now, aside from that, in international news, the UK's most renowned fund manager, Neil Woodford, he has blocked investors from pulling money from his flagship £3.7 billion fund. And the move comes after a rush of customers' withdrawals following a series of bad market bets. And Woodford has claimed that the move is in the best interest interests of investors, which range from large pension funds to small individual investors.
Yeah, we can discuss why this is a good or bad thing, right? Stopping people from taking the money out of funds and whether there is any real reason for that. But, you know, just a background on Neil Woodford. He was a fund manager with this very big fund management company called Invesco. And he managed about £25 billion in money. And one day back in 2013, he decided to leave the fund. And this caused a 7% drop in Invesco's share price because a lot of customers then followed him. The same thing as when that guy from PIMCO left, right? Huge fund manager, I forgot, not Al Arian, but the other guy, right, who left, and along with him, a lot of funds went to him as well. And Woodford basically managed to raise about $1 billion shortly after his departure. And he was a star fund manager. He was dubbed the Oracle of Oxford with reference to Warren Buffett, who's the Oracle of Omaha. So this is UK's Warren Buffett.
Well, it's not surprising. He gave investors a return of 18% on their money in his first year, compared to a 2% rise on the London Stock Exchange at that time. So yeah, he was a superstar.
Basically a star fund manager. And after that, performance just was dragged down by a few years of non-performance. He also stopped bonus payments to his staff. So they were very dissatisfied and they start leaving. But he was saying that you know, they were not adding any value to the funds. But in the, he actually siphoned is a strong word, but he actually legally took out a lot of money, dividends, to pay into his private company.
It's actually, I mean, Woodford Equity Income's actually underperformed their rival funds since about early last year. So that's fueling 23 consecutive months of net withdrawals by investors. So this is not something that's only been happening for like 5-6 months. Investors have actually withdrawn about £560 million from the fund over the past 4 weeks. And it's resulted in a 45% decline in the value in the fund's value in the past year. So Woodford has said that he will keep investors informed that the fund will be reopened when appropriate, but it didn't comment on when that might be. So the fund is going to be suspended for at least 4 weeks, during which time investors cannot pull money out or put money in.
I totally disagree with this. You know, I don't think there is any reason for you to stop investors from pulling the funds out, because you just sell them at market prices and pass on the proceeds, the sales proceeds, to your investors, right? Why would there be a reason to pull out these funds?
The only issue I can see is depending on what assets he has in this fund, and regardless, some of these assets may not be able to be liquidated as easily as you think. I mean, if it's just traded stocks, yes, you can. But if you have derivatives within the fund, it's not easy
it's
to
hard
unwind.
To, hard yeah. to unwind.
In
those.
Fact, almost impossible sometimes, right? Because the only buyer of the derivative could be the person who wrote you the derivative in the first place.
Right.
And there's usually a time expiry, so you usually wait to the end. Sometimes it also could be maybe the bonds that he has in it, which is not very liquid and cannot be traded.
Yeah, you got to sell at very large ticket sizes. You know, you can't sell £1 of bond. You got to sell like £500,000 or £2 million or something like that. But the other thing this highlights is also the raging debate between active and passive investing schools. And it shows us that fund managers can't be superstars all the time. They can be sometimes, but not all the time.
I wouldn't want to be an investor in Woodford Equity Income, because they're going to be stuck in limbo for at least 4 weeks until Neil Woodford decides whether or not to give them back their money. And on that note, we'll be back with more news for you in a little while. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.